Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman, don't give in to shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin. Wa Khaliquna, wa Raziquna, wa Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim, Allah is the one who loves the Muhsinin. He is our creator, He is our sustainer, and He is the one who has power over all.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, 12th October 2024, corresponding to the 9th of Rabi'ul Thani 1446 AH. It's the fourth month of the Islamic calendar year 1446 AH, and we thank God for His grace and mercies on us for seeing us, thus far. Yes, it is the fourth month of the Islamic calendar, but at the same time, it is the 10th month of Gregorian calendar year 2024. On Everyday Muslim Show, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Like we know, time waits for no man. Imagine we started year 2024 and it's already October. Just like yesterday, we started the new year, Islamic year 1446 AH, and we are already in the fourth month. And today is the ninth day of the month already. So like we said, time waits for no man. As it is expedient for us to be spiritually forthright, especially at these trying times, we must manage our time effectively to seek the grace and pleasure of our Creator. Allah the Exalted says to the Prophet, he says, when my servants ask you, Muhammad, concerning me, tell them, indeed, I am very close to them. I respond to the request of every caller when he calls upon me. Let them also hearken to my call and believe in me for them to be rightly guided. You'll find that scriptural verse in Quran chapter 2. Verse 186. So Allah the Exalted also says, verily I am time. So do not abuse time. Today on the program, we'll be taking a look at spiritual productivity, managing time for here and hereafter. Spiritual productivity, managing time for here and hereafter. And our guest to take us through this topic today is our father, scholar Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're very much welcome, sir. All right, sir. For those of you that are just joining the program for the first time, if you are just meeting Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba for the first time, where have you been all this while? All right. So Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba is a Muslim cleric. He's an imam at Adangba Central Mosque in Idimu, a Lemasha local government area of Lagos State. He's a marriage counselor and a public analyst on TV and radio. He's a publicity ambassador with the Heavenly World Propagation of Light, headquartered in Seoul, South Korea. Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba is a teacher, father, husband, mentor, and many more. He is the founder of an Islamic institution center in Idimu, where Quran and Islamic legislation is being taught in its adequate form. Just to mention, a few about who Sheikh Adangba is. So, Sheikh, you are very much welcome again to the program. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much, and thank everybody for having me.
All right. So, today we are looking at spiritual productivity and managing time for here in this world and the life to come, which is the hereafter. So, to begin with, so how exactly would you explain or define the concept of spiritual productivity, and why is it essential for a believer seeking balance between this life and the hereafter to be spiritually productive?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
Wala udwana illa ala zalimin. Those who will get lost in this world, lose all that they worked for, and at the same time lose everything that they will meet in hereafter, are those that do not believe in Allah, and they are transgressors on their own. You see, when we're talking about spiritual productivity, it's an ability to understand that when you use the adjective for productivity, it starts from a produce.
Okay.
And when you want to know about a produce, you have to know what are the prospects of that produce. Do you get it?
Yeah, I'm listening. We're listening.
So, what is the produce exactly that we're looking for? That produce is and must be understood to be what? To be the only thing that we came to perfect in this world. And they are in two ways. It's just one thing, but they are in two ways. The destruction of ego and the welfare of humanity. So if you don't destroy ego, you cannot as well be productive to everyone. And when you have ibadah, your ibadah has to be to three things. Ibadah to Rabb, that is when you are just not doing anything but serving your God. How do you serve your God? Is it by salat? Is it by siyam? Salat means prayer. Is it by siyam, which is fasting? Is it by? Yes, it is by that. But the only way you can offend Allah is to find an associate with Him. So the productivity is not really there. Where is the productivity? A benefit that goes and comes back to you. Mystically, a benefit that goes and comes back to you practically, and a benefit that goes back to you in all spheres of human life. So when you do good to others, then you have been productive. I don't know if you get it.
I'm listening.
That's the only time you have been productive. When you make somebody understand that I have a life, that's when you are productive. When you make the world realize that there is a life to enjoy here, that's when you are productive. So you should shun all vices and imbibe that is good, and format yourself to that template that Allah has created that says, "Kuntum khaira ummatin," you are the best of mankind. You are the best of revolution evolved for mankind. So the nation that is evolved for mankind, what do they do before Allah now qualifies them with the best? It says, "Tamuruna bil ma'rufi," you are doing enjoying that which is good, "wa tanhauna anil munkar," and forbidding that which is unlawful. So spiritual productivity is the act of understanding the produce, which is your ability, and using the produce to get what you want here in this world and in the hereafter. So a lot of regimentations are attached to it. A lot of a lot of spiritual constitution are attached to it. So, and it is best understood when you read Suratul Asr. Suratul Asr, the chapter of the night fall. Yeah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wal Asr. By the time that all the enzymic produce in you are exhausted or they are getting finished.
103, yeah.
So, because when you say the Asr is the Asr time, yeah. It's not the Asr time. It's a time when you are whining, when you are going. So, he said, Innal insana lafi khusr. Definitely, the man that came to life and existed in that life to the age of 60, 70, 80 is in a loss. He said, Illa lazina amanu, the first sacrosanct thing is for you to believe in Allah and the attributes of Allah, the attributes of faith. That is salat, siyam, believe in ginger, believe in destiny, and whatever. That is sacrosanct. That is not what is going to give you spiritual productivity. It's just a step into.
Okay. Wa amilu salih.
He said, wa amilu salih, and you have the ability to make welfareism your watchword. Do good to others. So you have the hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, hadith 39. Hadith 36 says that Jibril came to the Holy Prophet Muhammad one day, and he came, he knelt in front of him, he touched his knee with his own knee, his clothes are very white,
Jibril.
So he now started asking the prophet some things. He asked him about Islam, he told him Islam. He now asked him about Ihsan. What is kindness? He now started telling, he told him just one thing. Antabudullah ka'annaka tarahu. You worship Allah as if you are seeing him. That is, you cannot worship Allah as if you are seeing him, because you know you are not going to see him. But worship him in humans, as if you are seeing the other creature like yourself. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Even when you are not seeing him, he's definitely seeing you. Which means he's going to bank on your intention. Which is the first hadith that says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. All activities are binded with their intention. So this is where spiritual productivity comes in for every human being. That is this, in this, is this, that is in this world.
All right.
So that is the start.
Okay, but now, looking at this, because a lot of people might easily misconstrue that, because when you talk about the fact that, yes, being productive, yes, being good to others, and living a life of, you know, enjoyment, at least, because my emphasis is actually on that enjoyment. And, you know, naturally, yeah, people like, this world, we have come here to enjoy. But then, in a world that is focused on material success, because that's probably what people feel, that that is what will give them the kind of enjoyment for this life. So they might tend to focus on material success. So for such a world, so how then can a believer maintain focus on spiritual goals without neglecting their worldly responsibilities? Because there is that tendency, naturally, that in pursuit of, you know, worldly ambitions, we actually neglect our, you know, spiritual, you know, obligations to our Creator.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. A Muslim must think like an ordinary person, but he must fortify himself with the verses and the occurrences in the Sunnah. What are the verses? Allah says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Quran chapter 54, I think, where he said, you should seek from what Allah has given to you the home and the high abode, that is, in the hereafter. Lakin, as immediately he said that, says, do not forget. Do not forget that you have a portion here to defend.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is Quran 28, verse 77. So I should not make mistake.
Okay.
He said, do not forget that you have a life to live here. Then what is Allah really pointing at? Allah is telling you that you should not allow yourself to be distracted to destruction. Because you brought nothing here, the syndrome of We come with nothing and we shall go with nothing, must live permanently with a Muslim in his brain and in all his activities.
Mm.
You came with nothing and you are not going with anything.
Mm.
So the aspect of nothing or nothingness must be ringing in your brain and reverberating every time in your activities and intentions. So the ability of distraction to destruction must not be allowed to happen to you. And that's why Allah revealed just one surah because of that. That is Surah 102. Surah to Takathur.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes, 102.
Surah to Takathur.
Yes.
Verse 102.
Yes.
Chapter 102, verses 1 to 8. Mm. The whole essence of materialism is rivalry.
Mm.
You know, when you say materialism, that is because you have gone beyond the need of what you wanted. So materialism is an ability to say, I acquire this, I acquire that, I have a certificate, I have a doctor, I have a PhD, I have this, I have that, I studied this. Some people even did it to the extent of having 4 PhDs. You know, it's rivalry.
Mm.
When he dies, he cannot inherit it to his child.
Mm.
But you should look at the time he spent for that. If I spend that time on emancipating and liberating humanity, how much will he have gained than gaining whatever he has gained in that school? But that to the fact that all that he has gained during the search for Dr. 1, Dr. 2, Dr. 3, Dr. 4, they are not even going to ask him his specialities. They are only going to use him for what they want. And if they could not find what they want to use him for, all the doctors that he has acquired is null and void. Imagine that he has spent that time in emancipating people, in liberating them. How much shout will he get? So, rivalry. My house is better than yours. My car is better than yours. My this, my that is better than yours. And to what extent? You are going to die. So, materialism in that respect must not be what will bother a Muslim, but you should take from what you want, what you are working for what you need.
Okay.
And if you look at the money you acquire today, you are not going to, in a month, calculate what you make and calculate how much you spend for yourself. It will be under 10%. If the 90% is not spent on others, then you are a failure for that month.
Wow.
Exactly. Wow. You are a failure for that month.
Okay, sir. Now, looking at the fact that in our daily lives, we have different routines, different activities that we're engaged in. So how do we align our religious and mundane activities with the intention of pleasing our Creator and gaining rewards in the hereafter? Because a lot of times, some of these actions that just like you mentioned, you know, seeking knowledge, sometimes, yeah, someone might be interested in seeking knowledge, you know, acquiring different degrees, not necessarily probably because wants to show off, wants to, you know, compete with anyone. But then, so it's just, you know, that personal, you know, interest in trying to, you know, gain more knowledge to be able to probably use it to benefit humanity. So how then do we align?
Probably. You said probably.
I said probably. You said probably. Yes.
Use it.
Yes,
probably. Yeah, probably.
Yes.
And so, that is 50%. So it's not even sure.
Okay. So but then how then do we are now align, including even our religious activities and our daily activities, normal mundane activities?
The only
how
problem
do we align this with, you know, please,
the only problem,
attention, please.
Yeah, Kasim.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The only prophet told us, who's my cheetah, lima cheetah.
Hmm.
Take from what you want to look for or you want to search for what you want to use it for.
Mm.
So when you are gaining too much than what you want to use it for, you are becoming a materialistic person.
Wow, I love that.
No, just get that into your head.
Okay.
Number two, you are asking me, how can you align your timing to be able to acquire a lot? Okay, let's divide Ibadah into three. Let's look at the direct Ibadah, the 5 daily Ibadahs.
Mm-hmm.
How many time do you spend to do them?
Probably an hour in a day.
That is Salat.
Yes, sir.
Zakat. Zakat, probably an hour. Probably a day in a year.
Yes, sir.
Hajj, 5 days in a year.
Yes.
Ramadan, 30 days in a year. Sorry. The first one is Iman. Your faith all around the year. You don't even need to sit down and start working on it. You just go. So why will the other ones, which are supererogatory, that will end your agenda, will not give you that torture not to know how to do it? But if you want to calculate your money vis-a-vis the job you do in a year, you have the Excel sheet. So why don't you create an Excel sheet for your supererogatory ibadah? So it's just easy. Create a time for what you want to do in this world. You find out that at the end of the day, what you are using the time for, even when you are in the office, is not as needed. So within the time, within the little time that you want to have a recess, or you want to just unwind,
relax.
Why can't you do istinas? Istinas is relaxing with Allah. At least in us to be Allah, relaxing with Allah. You don't need to do your zikr standing. If you like, you can sit. If you like, you can lie down on your side. You can do your zikr anytime. But not the incantation alone that matters. You have it in look, when you say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, does it freak Allah? Doesn't freak him. You're not giving anything to Allah, which is extraordinary. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah for having created you and giving you what he gave you. Just be conscious of what you're saying. Alhamdulillah, thank you Allah for waking me up without my knowledge. Thank you Allah for my blood running my body without my knowledge. Thank you Allah for giving me health that I don't even know if I deserve it or not. Thank you Allah for making, look, what do you want? It is when you start counting the mercies of Allah, you can't exhaust them. Now, wala ilaha illallah, just the affirmation that I would not worship any other thing but Allah. Allahu Akbar. Oh, Allah is the mightiest. You are confirming yourself for yourself to know that the only thing that is mighty in your sight is Allah. Then you now submit totally, which is the total submission of being a Muslim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. So this now comes down to what the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in Hadith 39, when he says what Allah taught him. You know, Hadith 39 of An-Nawawi is an Hadith al-Qudsi, second in level to the Quran. You know that?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
And he said in that verse, he said, "Man ada li waliyan," anybody that transgresses on my own friend, "faqad azantuhu bil harb," I will fight the person who wear the same trousers together. He said, "Wama yatakarrabu ilayya 'abdun bin nawafil min ba'di maftaratu alayhi." After I give you the regimentation, after I give you the commandment, and you now do more, just a little above what I've given you, which shows that you are kind.
Extra. Doing the extra.
Ata uhibbahu, till I love him. He now says, when I love him, he has become my friend, although you are going to face a lot of challenges to become Allah's friend. So when you now become Allah's friend and he loves you, he said, "Kuntu sama'ahu, I become your ears, wa basarahu, I become your eye, wa yadahu, I become your hands, wa rijlahu, I become your legs." Anything you do with them, it's like I'm doing it. That is a level of favor, which is called ridwan. And with ridwan, you are not going to hellfire. So, and these things are not far-fetched. We heard of a woman that just quenched the thirst of a dog, yes, and she's granted aljannah. Yeah. All Allah wants is that do it unto others as you like it to be done unto you.
I love that.
Each day.
I said, I love that.
Do unto others. So when you sit down in the night, you clean your legs, you clean your hands, you take your bath, and you want to sleep in your bed, and you sit down, then listen to yourself and ask yourself, stretch out your hands, your palms, and ask yourself, how many people has passed through this palm today to become successful? If you cannot find one, you have wasted that day, and you are going to account for that day in a negative way in the sight of Allah.
Allah Akbar.
So how to do it is not far-fetched. It's just you being concerned and conscious that I want people to be happy. I determine to make people be happy, even if it's going to be with the last drop of my blood.
So that's when
you are a Muslim. Al-Fana, we call it annihilation. Annihilation seems negative, but in tasawwuf, in Sufism, annihilation is not negative. Annihilation is completely finding yourself inside Allah. And forgetting whether you have anything to leave, and leave Allah to take care of what you have left. Take care of His creatures, and He will take care of you definitely.
All right. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you very much for taking us through that journey. All right. Now, just like you have described this, and implementing this, some of these are religious, obligations, and even in other activities of ours on the daily life, generally people tend to have these burnouts, while striving to fulfill their worldly and spiritual duties. So what guidance does Islam offer to be able to prevent burnout, so that we don't overexert ourselves in some of these activities, whether it's worldly activities or even our spiritual activities? So how do we prevent burnout from the guidance of Islam?
Oh, but I mention a name now. Let me hear what you say. Anab Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Oh, why does he deserve that? Was he born out?
No.
All through his activities while he lived there, and he finished himself inside, he annihilated himself into Allah, and finished his life on the course of Islam and Muslims. Was he born out?
No.
No. So, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an example of how you can be and you will not burn out. You get it?
Yes.
So, if you copy the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not going to burn out. He said something, and I will say it now, so that anybody that does not want to burn out must understand the Prophet from that perception. He said, Lillahi alayka haqqun. Allah has some responsibilities you have to give to Him.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, absolutely.
Wa li ahlika alayka haqqun. And your relatives ask something, your responsibilities upon you that you have to give them.
Yes, they have obligations.
Wa li nafsika, wa li nafsika alayka haqqun. And to yourself, you have your responsibilities to yourself. You now finished it that fati kullu dhi haqqin haqqahu. Give unto every one of the three their responsibilities. So how do you their dues? Yes. Let us call it responsibility and not use the word due.
Okay.
Now this boils down to the fact that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say you have a right to collect from me, but rather he says I have a right to give to you, which is a responsibility to give to you. So don't call it a deal. Deal looks like right.
Okay.
But let's call it a responsibility. If I come to you and say Salaamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, what do you do?
I have to respond Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Because that prayer that I said to you is I started it. That is my responsibility to you when I meet you somewhere, and you returned it. None of us are losers. I prayed for you, you have prayed for me. So you can't get burnt out. If you copy the Holy Prophet Muhammad's way of life, you cannot get burnt out. So, because some people will do, look, news every time. No, you have responsibilities. Know these responsibilities. That's the first one. And know when to give these responsibilities. That's the last one. So, with those two absorbed by you, then you have the way to say, I'm not going to get burned out. You give yourself your responsibilities, give to Allah His responsibilities, and give to others their responsibilities. And Allah has captured it all in the Quran. He says, "Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl." He said, the first thing you need to do is to be just. Well, ihsan, and be kind. That's a level above justice. Wa ita izil kurba. Give your responsibilities to the kids and kin. That is all. With that, how can you get bought out? So the moment you give to people, people will give back to you. It's a karmic effect. What goes around,
comes
definitely
around.
Will come around. So There's no doubt in that. Mm-hmm. So logically, in the metaphoric way of it saying the sun is out, which means the day is bright. So the sun is off, which means the day is dark. So there is no gainsaying in it. With one, you find the other. With the other, you find one. So that's the way it is. So there is no, you cannot get bored out.
So invariably, studying the life of the prophet and demonstrating his examples in our daily lives would give us the balance that we seek.
It gives you the ability not to get bored out and at the same time be a winner.
Because I love the fact that you even brought out that particular hadith that your Lord has a right over you, your family has a right over you, and your soul has a right over you.
You have a right over yourself.
You are responsible to everyone, and you must do what is expected. So, not because you are trying to exert, yourself into the service of your Lord, deny your family their responsibility.
No. If you do that, you are indeed not a Muslim.
So you are not being balanced. Then you are being extreme, invariably.
Yeah. So and you know, the only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something. He said, Inna kaumun wasat la nafrit wa la nafarrit. We don't overdo, we don't underdo, but we are human beings created with moderacy. So if you are moderate, you can't be burnt out.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Ashik. So we are discussing spiritual productivity, managing time for here and hereafter, and Sheikh, the scholar taking us through that journey is Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba. We'll go on a quick break. When we return, Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 would continue. Please stay with us. You're my brother, you're my sister, we're one big family. If you've just joined in, you are listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. Today is the 9th day of Rabiul Thani, 1446 AH, corresponding to the 12th of October 2024. And we are discussing spiritual productivity, managing time for here and hereafter. And taking us through this discussion is our father, our Sheikh Abdulrahman Dangba, who is a teacher, an Islamic scholar, a father, a husband, a mentor, and many more, the founder of an Islamic Christian center, in Idimu, where Quran and Islamic legislation is being taught in its adequate form. He is a publicity ambassador for Heavenly World Propagation of Light, headquartered in Seoul, South Korea. All right, yeah, Sheikh, you're welcome. So, but for our listeners, you can be a part of this discussion by calling the number 07000 917 917 07000 917 917. The female only line for our female listeners, if you want to also be a part of this, is 0800 1235 917 0800 1235 917. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp on the number 070-317-56537. All right, yeah, Sheikh. Now, let's take our discuss a little bit further. Looking at the fact that in undertaking all these activities, both our spiritual activities and our life activities, our mundane activities, that is a need for time management. So I want to ask you, why is time management crucial for a believer? And how can effective use of time help in achieving both worldly success and spiritual growth?
You see, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we are all Muslims. And this is a point and a time we need to talk to ourselves in the reality of time management. The only armed robber that will have in this world that will steal from you, no government or no powerful institution can take back what is stolen from you is time. As it tickles away, you are tickling away too. So what you should be taught by the native intelligence is that if you know that there are adversities in life now, and you are working to save yourself from all the adversities that you may think of, like poverty, illness, and whatever, you are using your time to prepare for a time that will come, that when it even comes, you will not know, because you are prepared for the time. So if you are preparing for adversities, also understand that time is also an adversity. If you do not make use of it well, it will use you up. And that's what we were taught in the Arabic school, that whatever kasaatu,
kasif,
kasif, in lam qata'ahu qata'aka, in lam taqta'ahu qata'aka. A time is like a sword. If you don't spend it, it will spend you to cut you into pieces. So, timing, even by Allah, He has described times to us in many ways. He told the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they will ask you of time. Why is it so hidden that people don't know? And the Allah told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell everybody that time is there, it's going to go away. Use it wisely and use it to preserve something into your cupboard that will get back to tomorrow. So that is it. So, time management is what I told you of the spreadsheet, and is what I told you of the native intelligence that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, that lillahi alayka haqqun, your God has a responsibility you have to give, linafsika alayka haqqun, yourself has a responsibility over yourself, and the alika alayka haqqun, and your kith and kin have a responsibility you have to give them. So when you give them their responsibilities, he now said that he did not give a condition. He said, give them their responsibilities so you can be at peace. So that is the essence of time management. And to understand that, there's all, the Quran said, even in Salat, let me teach you, in every aspect of Iman. Salat, do you have time for it or you don't?
We must have time for Salat. Hello?
Shit.
All right. Okay.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir. You know, the network fluctuated a bit.
The Salat has... Yes. The Salat has a time. The Salat has a time. He said Kitab and Mawkuta. They have a stipulated time. The Saum has a time.
Yes.
You cannot fast for Ramadan in Rajab.
Absolutely.
So Allah is telling you that you have to know, you have to have time for everything.
Yes.
The Hajj has time.
Yes, absolutely.
The Hijjah.
Yes.
And it has to be the days.
Hello, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're back.
Uh-huh. So all the...
All right, it's still Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba seems to be having challenges. With
times. All the times and timings are...
The fluctuation is there. So the program is still Everyday Muslim. So like I said, you can be a part of the discourse by sending your questions and comments to 07000-917-917. That's the number to call. For the female-only line, 0800-1235-917, 0800-1235-917 for the female only line, and for others you can call the number 07000-917-917. If you want to send an SMS or WhatsApp, you can send to 0703-175-6537, 0703-175-6537. We have a caller on the line. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's a pleasure to have you. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, I'm Yusuf Olamilekun Adedeyan. I'm calling from Malakoko, Lagos.
You're welcome, sir.
Yes, I greet our resource president there, our ustaz, our imam. Adamba, may Allah continue to increase him in knowledge.
Allahumma ameen.
Ameen, and you too.
Thank you, sir. My question is, should a Muslim be engrossed with the fear that because they do say the era we are now, you know, one should not thinking of going living beyond the 50, or the death time is always 60, because the prophet and the dying are that age. So should one now be engrossed with the fear, you know, that just thinking about, yeah, I think that can cause a depression. So what is it advisable that, or one should just keep doing a good deed? That's number one question. Then number two, about the verse from Surah Asri, he read for us.
Yes.
It's like, during the time of the prophet, then there are a lot of things that are happening then that are also evils, you know, then that the prophet now try to correct them, so with prayer and the rest. So is that a surah applicable to them too? Because if it is Walafri, I mean
if that time was Walafri, is it applicable? So that are you saying that is it okay? All right, thank you very much. All right, so Sheikh, he asked two questions. All right, so please just wait, listen for the answers. So the first one, yes, sir, Sheikh. Yeah. So the first one is trying to talk about the fact that people say that the lifetime of this particular generation, the life expectancy, probably that's the better word, is between 60 and 70. So that for that reason, will that not put us under a lot of pressure that let me quickly do as much as I can do now, because I know at any point in time, no matter, I'm probably getting closer to 60, I can die. That will that not probably put people under a lot of unnecessary pressure?
Yeah. No. You see, when you say well, sir, by the time, if I put a range, I just put a range for thinking that people may have longevity. By the time, which time?
It's undefined.
I must cure time that we don't know. So which means any time is that time. The moment you are a mukallif, how you call it mukallif, somebody who is responsible,
yes, sir,
you are bound to be to start doing good. So you do good till you die.
Can we break that down and say you are responsible? Probably you are already mature.
You are matured. You are matured. You will be questioned for what you do.
From that
in Islam,
onwards.
in Islam, for a boy, some says 9 or 11. And for a girl, some say 7 or 9. You are already matured. So, but what do we do when we are young? Our parents, our words should be trained of the four quotients. The four quotients. The first quotient is the intelligence quotient, the IQ.
Okay.
As we are working on the IQ, we must work on the social quotient, which is the environment that we live in. If our environment is not good, the pairing of our kids will be bad. I think you understand that.
Yes, sir.
The third one is we should work on the economic quotient.
Okay.
The economic quotient is where we know, we tell our kids that there's adversity. So, and when it is bad, we should not abuse anybody. Because when it is good too, we should not go out there and start shouting. We should know that there are times of good and there are times of bad. There are times of trial and there are times of success. So, and number four, if we work on the intelligence quotient, we work on the adversity quotient, work on the economic quotients, and we should work on the social quotients.
Okay.
So this tells you that there is no fixed time for these things. The moment you are matured, you are going to be questioned of what you have done.
Okay. All right. Then concerning whether the issue of Al-Asr, that is not the prophet. Yes, sir.
Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. So that is that. That you all are shepherds and you are going to be accountable for what you flocked. So, and it boils down to the fact that, okay, when you know that you are going to be accountable for it, then you follow the hadith of the Holy Prophet. Another hadith of the Holy Prophet that says, Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasab. Assess yourselves before you have been called to account. So, if there is no fixed time, I just put a time for us to know that when we are winding off from this world, the enzyme secretions in us has been dried up. Then you don't have any cause to say it is because I'm still waiting for something. No. You are definitely going to be questioned if you are a matured soul.
And the second question, the second has to do with the fact that, you know, the surah you read, Quran chapter 103, where Allah says, Al Asr. He's talking about Surah Al-Asr.
Okay, Surah Al-Asr, yeah.
That, is it applicable to the term of the prophet? When, because if probably we call that time Surah Al-Asr, then what will we call this time? Will we call this time Al-Maghrib? Or what? Or whether it's probably just if Allah was just foretelling that Al-Asr would come.
If you look at that verse very well,
yes, sir,
and you look at the Quran as its compilation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made to bring the Quran to us in written, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
The Quran has been existing with Allah because that is a manual for creation.
Yes, sir.
It's a manual for creation that's been existing with Allah before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has been given in bits to the prophets that come before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right from Adam. The laws that were dished out from Adam to Musa is just one, la ilaha illallah. Another laws came after Musa to Jesus. That was the Ten Commandments. And by the time Jesus came, five were added, which makes it 15. But in the Quran, the complete thing from that of Adam to Moses to Jesus to Muhammad were 25. And you find it in Quran chapter 17, verse 22 to 38.
All right.
It says, So just write it down and let him look at it. So if you are now going to look at the Quran vis-a-vis when it says Wal Asr, that time too is a general purpose thing. The Quran, when you go to Arabic school, they will teach you that Al Quran, Ibaratuhu, going into the Quran and seeking the knowledge of the Quran and the usage of the verses therein is just to tell you that bi umumil ma'na, you use it for whatever you apply it onto and it fits it in. La bi hususis sabab, not because of why it is revealed alone. You can use it today, yesterday, tomorrow, and forever.
All right, thank
you.
So
that is the sense of the Quran. Yeah.
All right, sir. So now, looking at the time that we are now, you know, people are finding it hard to survive. It's the challenging times. So how can one stay spiritually resilient and productive, you know, drawing strength from Islamic teaching? Because I'm trying to imagine the economic situation that Nigerians find themselves now, and how can they remain, you know, spiritually productive with all these challenges they're actually going through?
Now, we have tried every avenue to save our heads from economical imbalances. Haven't we?
Yes, sir.
Now, even with all our trials, we still cannot find the truth. we are still going through this even harder than before, and it becomes harder and harder each day.
Yes,
I think you can see that. Mm-hmm. So we have tried men, we have tried angels amongst men, we have tried saints among men. You're not working. Don't you have to go back to the Creator?
Mm. Yes.
So if you now say, okay, I still want to be trying, you are trying and there is no result, go back to the person that has the result, and that is your Creator, Allah. And from there, you will be able to balance yourself, and you have the innermost peace that is called tranquility. So that's the only thing we can do. There is no other way than returning to Allah. Usually there is a verse in the Quran that says, "Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas." That is, evil are spread on in the sea and on the lands. Bima kasabat aydin nas, for the actions that men has put up.
Yes, sir.
So that they may taste out of the evils that they have done, the transgressions that they have done. So that I can return back to Allah and leave those evil things and imbibe the best way so that they can live happily forever again.
Hmm.
And there is another verse in the Quran that says, we're giving you an example, a similitude of a town that has everything that it eats from, it drinks from, it enjoys itself. There is peace, there is insurance, there is security, there is everything in abundance.
Hmm.
And they disown that mercy from Allah by disdaining what He has them to do. Showing ingratitude to Allah. We have shown ingratitude for so long. He said we should not hoard, we hoarded. He said we should not kill, we killed. He said we should not maim, we maimed. He said, but all the things that He asks us not to do, we did it. So that they can taste out of the evil that they have perpetrated. So that they can come back to Allah and say, oh, we are ready to follow your path. Or not until we follow the path of Allah, we're not going to get there. Capitalism is not a good act of government. And people are fighting the Islamic finance system. They are fighting the Islamic finance system because they're not going to get interest. They're not going to do usury. They're not going to put money somewhere. They're not going to do betting. They're not going to do all those atrocities that human beings perpetrate at the expense of other people's lives. One out of 1,000 enjoying, or one out of 1,000,000 enjoying. So Islam will not allow you that. But they are saying, no, don't mind those Muslims. They are extremists. Okay, if you don't mind us, you don't want our finance system, bring your own finance system. You don't have one. So Islam has a finance system. Let's try the finance system. I want to tell you something today. I visited Jais Bank, which is an Islamic finance institution. And do you know that 70% or more of those that bank with them are not even Muslims? Because they believe in that finance system and they are guaranteed of their money back and a host of things that they don't even pray for. Which you cannot find in a contemporary bank.
We have another call on the line, Sheikh. All right, hello. Hello. Wa alaikum assalam. What's your name and where you calling from, please?
And I'm calling from Akuti.
Okay.
I want to thank my Sheikh.
Okay.
Yeah. I thank him for enlightening us. I also thank MCAN for giving us this opportunity to learn more about our deen. What I just want to add to what our Sheikh has told us is in the areas of all Muslims can be more, you know, be more up to the rest.
Hello?
The network is not very good.
Oh. Probably you can call us back if you still have the time. All right, Sheikh, because we're rounding off, the time is fast spent. So probably on this note now, I know quite well that are lots of people, especially for young Muslims now, those that are actually just entering into, the workforce, How can they stay true to their faith while pursuing professional success? Because now it has come to a point where, even at the point of, you know, undertaking your professional career, there are so many things that you see there that probably they are un-Islamic, and they tell you this is how things are done here. You know, hardly would you probably go to any corporate organization and you don't do PR, or you want to work with, you know, as a private person, you want to, you know, get something from, you know, public service, and they'll tell you how to do PR and so many other things like that. So many, you know, so many practices, like you're just talking about, probably even with the capitalists, and they tell you this is how things are done here. So if you actually want to grow on this job, you want to reach the top of your career, you want to reach the zenith, they probably just have to fall in line. So for them now, how can they now, you know, attain their professional success, you know, without, you know, while still staying true to their faith? Very quickly.
Let me tell you, let me tell you something. If you want to belong, ask yourself, you want to belong to what? Because what you're just saying now is somebody trying to belong. But ask yourself, you want to belong to what? So if you want to belong, definitely you are going to practice all the atrocities that we say you should not practice. So don't try to belong.
Okay.
Perpetrate or practice your Islam the best of ways that will make you become distinctive in the sight of Allah and in the presence of man. So don't try to belong. If you really want to belong, definitely you are going to be bastardized. And if you are bastardized, Allah has no say in that. You bastardized yourself. And you are going to face the consequences yourself. So don't try to belong. Oh, you want to get to the apex of your whatever, yes, of your career. What is that career? In police, we all know, and we believe, many of us believe that the police are not good. But in police, you see, fine, very good hands that are Muslims. We just lost one. CPI Lara is one of them. May Allah be pleased with him. Just have a problem, talk to him, and he will solve the problem, tell you where you have made a mistake, and tell you how to correct it, and tell the person that is on the other end that don't do that again. We are Muslims, and we should make sure that we cater for Islam the best of ways. So that is one of them. So don't tell me that, no, no, there is no good Muslim outside there. That's a typical lie. And you must not tell lies as a Muslim. So don't try to belong. If you try to belong, you will belong to that bad side. And you are not going to get anything out of what you did. And at the end of the day, you are going to blame yourself for not practicing Islam the best of ways.
So if you can't beat them, you leave them, don't join them, right?
No, no, don't join them. That's not Islam. The moment you join them, you are part of them. And definitely, you are not going to get the best of what you need to get to where Allah has designed for you.
All right, so invariably we should return our faith to Allah, regardless of,
yes,
all of the challenges. All right.
Regardless of whatever, give yourself back to Allah, and you will not have the regrets.
All right. Jazakum Allah Khairan. It's a pleasure having you on our program today, as always. Jazakum Allah Khairan, Sheikh. And to all our listeners, we'd like to appreciate you. And for those who probably tried to call in and had one issue or the other, we appreciate you. And for those who eventually came in, we also appreciate you. Jazakum Allah Khairan. It's a pleasure, you know, doing this and knowing that fully well that you're there. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wherewithal to be able to listen and, you know, undertake more of this lifetime. So yeah, Sheikh Jazakallah Khairan. So to all our listeners, you can listen again to this episode or other previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpacng.org, mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the MPAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook Everyday Muslim, on Instagram Everyday Muslim 01. So inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m, same station, WFM 91.7. I'm Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a beautiful way.